Does stretching actually help you be less sore? You know, I mean, people go, I'm going to go stretch so I'm not as sore. Does that actually help anything?
That's one of the, I was hoping we'd get to this topic. Like, that's one of the myths that I would love to bust.
This is Brad Jensen, and you listen to the Key Nutrition Podcast. Welcome to another edition of the Key Nutrition Podcast. This episode is brought to you by Key Supps. Head over there and check out our new line of amino acids and pre-workout, all natural, no fillers, no artificial flavors. Go check it out. Super excited. Today we have Rob Gibson on the show. Rob is he owns a company called Premier Fitness Massage.
Yes, sir.
And he's a big deal here in Salt Lake, but he is the guy should have been a doctor, not a massage therapist, because I literally rely on him for everything. I take his word over a doctor. But he is extremely smart and educated when it comes to the body and different injury prevention and different techniques. And we're super excited to have him.
Very excited.
Yeah. And we got Justin here co-hosting.
Hey guys.
Currently 1 week out from his show, so if you thought his carbs were low last week, they're even lower today, but he's
it's 10 days. It's not too bad.
He's alive, so.
And we're here. I feel pretty good, honestly. Probably because I see Rob all the time.
Every week. 2 hours a week.
Shameless plug.
Yep.
That's actually true. Rob works on you how much?
Yeah, I see Rob every week for like 2 hours a week. 2 hours
every week.
I've seen Rob
2 hours every week. Listen, let me just tell you, it's not a fun massage when you're with Rob. People are like, oh, that's cool. You have a massage. I'm like, so he actually really beats me up. It's not like he allows no Enya.
There could be some Enya. That's fine.
No, I tried playing some Enya. Okay, the first time I had Rob come over was about 4 or 5 years ago. And I put on my Pandora and I put on Enya. And I was trying to make it this soothing thing. And he just kept staring at me awkwardly until I turned it off. I feel like I should have like Pantera on next time.
Ooh.
It's kind of what it feels like.
It wouldn't be at first.
It's not very relaxing.
Yeah. It works. So Rob, tell us about you. Introduce yourself. First off, where can people find you? I'll normally do that at the end, but I want people to be able to go and look if you don't make it all the way through the episode because I suck or Justin has no carbs. Where can people find you on Instagram, social media, your website?
Okay, Instagram and our website is both Premier Fitness Massage. So it's premierfitnessmassage.com or an Instagram at Premier Fitness Massage. So pretty easy.
Check them out. And you have a personal account too?
Yeah, I'm not very active on it. I'm kind of horrible with that one, but it's robgibson.pfm for the personal one. That it's still me as far as like business wise. You know, now that we've got employees, like I'm trying to do something on my own but still have a business entity kind of a thing. But
super cool.
So yeah, it works.
Hopefully. Go check out the content while we're talking. You'll see all the big names he's worked on, and we'll get to that. But you know, tell us a little. Like, how did you get started in this? Like what? Like, was there something, was a plan to get into this field? Did you kind of stumble into it? Like, because you're successful. I mean, you're definitely in the people, you're a wanted commodity here in Utah. You know, you're booked out and you get kind of a waiting list. And like, so how did you kind of get all into this? Did you know that's what you were going to do or?
Oh, definitely not. Massage kind of fell into my lap. That was never part of the plan. I'd never even had a massage before I started massage school, so that's the funny thing. But
have you even had a massage today yet?
Yes.
Okay.
A lot. Yeah. No, the original plan was either chiropractic or physical therapy, something along those lines. I was always involved or interested in sports rehab. Playing baseball growing up, I messed up my shoulder. So to kind of try and prevent that with other people, that was kind of always the goal. I just didn't know how to go about that. So it was kind of while I was in college that I just thought one day, you know, maybe I'll drop in and check out massage. It might be a good baby step into physical therapy or whatever. And then next thing I know, I was signed up and going. So it just kind of, yeah, fell right into my lap and it worked. So I've stuck with it for 16 years.
See, I knew he was going to be a physical therapist. That means he was smarter than your average massage therapist.
Yep.
I tell my clients one time, I said, just ask him and just trust what he says. He knows. Like, so how long have you been doing this for?
So it's been 16 years. So it's been, yeah, lots of work with, I think what did it.
I'm looking at his hands right now. They're pretty worn.
They're pretty beat up. Yeah, they're pretty bent.
Mine look beautiful compared to
this. You know, it's the, I think the, I lucked out because I've worked with a lot of good doctors. So probably about 13 of those 16 years have been with physical therapists and chiropractors and medical doctors and plastic surgeons. And, you know, so some, I've had a lot of good extra, I don't know, like experience, I guess, lots of good doctors that have mentored me. So I think that helped out more than anything.
Yeah, and you're a high IQ person. I mean, I don't know. Maybe, listen, my mom always says, you're so smart, Brad. I said, no, I'm not. I have one lane that I'm smart with. That is all I know.
That's
like,
me.
You ask me anything about like world history or politics, religion based stuff. I'm just like, you'll just see me go quiet. So if you ever really want to shut me up,
I'm right there with you.
So, what, how did you, did you start Premier Fitness? So when did that all come about?
So that started back, it was about 2007 was when Premier Fitness Massage was created, I guess. We were kind of doing stuff before, just, you know, it was a little bit of massage, and then we were doing, one of the chiropractors got me into exercise. So we were kind of incorporating the two. That's where I really feel like is a lot of the benefit is you combine exercise and massage, and that's where it's really seen some benefits. So we tried to combine them, and it was right before the economy tanked, so it just didn't work.
Faith to be an entrepreneur, so, and then the economy tanked.
There you go.
Yeah.
So we kind of, you know, it kept going through that time frame, but I kind of focused more on the massage part. So I've been lucky to be able to link up with really good exercise professionals. So I don't even have to worry about the fitness side anymore. So even though the name's fitness and massage, it's more massage. And then, you know, little things here and there, little tips here and there.
And well, then, you definitely know the fitness end, and that's what helps. I mean, that's why I wanted you on a guest on this podcast, because I believe you can bring so much value, because literally, I don't think people realize, like, if you are beating your body up 4 to 5 times, 6 times a week in the gym, whether it's bodybuilding type training or it's CrossFit or F45, whatever your like mode of training is, like, people don't realize, like, you got to take your car in to get repairs.
There
I'm shocked when I talk to some people and they've never gotten a massage, but they beat their body up day in and day out. I'm shocked. I'm like, what?
Insane. Yeah.
Do you not know that you have to like oil up your car, to speak? So you really know the fit, and you've worked on a lot of people. You work on Justin every week. I get one like every, how long have I been seeing you? 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, it's been about that. So yeah, about every other week.
Years,
every other week for 4 or 5 years.
Every other week about, and I'm not even like training for a show. I mean, I just train normal. I have my everyday stressors with life. And
there you go.
And I'm very injury prone. I've torn my pec. I've torn my tricep. I tore my quad.
So that's what you haven't torn.
Yeah. So the muscles I haven't torn are my bicep, and I haven't torn my lat yet. I don't even, can you do that?
I'm sure we could force it. We could figure something out.
I could find a way. That's for sure. And it's really helped me. You work on Justin every week for 2 hours. Tell us a little bit about that. You guys can talk. Like, what does he do to you every week for 2 hours that you feel like benefits you? I think he just likes to hang out with Rob, to be honest.
Well, that's just an added bonus, obviously. But
Rob's a quieting force in me and Kelly's life. It just brings some peace. We're like, my dogs love him.
It's a different kind of therapy. Yeah.
So here's my thing is like, I feel like the time to go see a massage therapist, go see someone like Rob, is not after you've torn your pec or your tricep. It's before, right? It's preventative care, so you can prevent that from happening. It's kind of like, you know, they say you don't go to a therapist like in crisis, you know, try to go before the crisis happens, and then you can you know, save yourself from that. And so I think it's the same thing with massage. I know that my body runs a lot better when things are able to, you know, contract the way they're supposed to. I know that I get better workouts when I have, you know, my muscles aren't so tight that I can't get decent blood flow. I mean, there's a whole ton of things. So It's some scraping, some myofascial scraping.
What cupping. Does scraping mean for the people who don't know? Because I remember when Rob first busted out this metal tool.
Yeah.
So and then he started putting some oil on it. I was like, oh, bro, like, we're not going to do that. Like, I'm not into that. I don't know what's going to happen. But tell us a little about scraping, and then Rob can kind of maybe explain it from a scientific point.
Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, like, or from what I've talked to Rob about, at least, this is just kind of secondhand. But, I mean, essentially what it does is it causes, like, a inflammatory response, and it lets your body know, like, hey, send help here, and let your body fix this area on its own. Versus just, like, pushing and shoving your elbow into something is only going to get you so far at times, I feel like. Yeah, there's a time and a place for everything, but it's, like, sometimes scraping will work better than something else. And I think it's not like it's necessarily better or worse than other things, but I think that there's a place for it, you know. There's like a, it's got its place, you know. Just like last week when we were talking about, you know, protein shakes, like, yeah, there's a place for them, you know what I mean? And so I think it's the same thing with scraping, you know, with cupping, with all that stuff.
What Perfect. So from a science, yeah, what is scraping? So I mean, you pull out almost kind of a, like, I remember you had me one time get the back of a butter knife when I wasn't when like I've did, done I, that did, too. Did I make that up?
No, yeah,
okay, I'm like, some I've done stuff that. I like start Very doing and concept. I think I make it up, but but what is it, like, from a scraping standpoint, when you're getting that metal tool and you're scraping into somebody? I know you've done it on my scar tissue from my pec tear. Like, what is it essentially what Justin said?
Pretty much, yes.
You've taught him well.
There, yeah. So I started scraping maybe 13 years ago. So I learned it in the physical therapy clinic I worked in. And the mentality that we had back then, we've learned a lot since then. So it was, I mean, initially it was Graston. So everybody here has heard of Graston, and that's a manufacturer of tools. So, but it's not necessarily the name of the therapy kind of a thing. So it's kind of just this one specific group in the whole umbrella term kind of thing. So it was back then, it was a lot about breaking up, you know, scar tissue and adhesions and, you know, all these different things. It was a little different mentality than the way we look at it now, whereas now we've kind of learned more that we're trying to stimulate your body to create a response and then have your body fix itself. So it's all about giving your body a nudge in a certain direction. So with the scraping, it's just one more way that we can communicate with it's your nervous system. We can stimulate your brain and make your brain cause a change. So you look at some pictures online and things, and you see people covered in these big nasty bruises, and it's a little more than what we've found is necessary. So it looks kind of scary, and you can get really aggressive if you want to, but it's just it's not necessary. So it can be a little scarier than what it needs to be. But yeah, it's just as Justin said. I mean, we're trying to get your body to respond and then hopefully improve the situation.
Right. Well, it hurts. I know it seems to help, though, you know, but it's interesting. So I tore my pec 2009, tore completely off the shoulder, and never got surgery for it. I decided I would heal myself, and that didn't work well. I'm going to that rabbit hole another time, but I ended up trying to self-medicate myself. It was a disaster, but still, what now? We're talking 9 years later. That injury, because of the pull that it's had on my trap and my lats, has caused a lot of issues that Rob continually helps. I mean, I tore that muscle. So if you can picture my shoulder, my left shoulder just pulls forward all the time. And I keep thinking my neck hurts or my back, like I did something, and it's all stemming from right there in my pec tear, correct?
Yes.
And so when Rob gets into that, it really hurts. And I've what do I call you, an asshole every time?
Something. Why you gotta be such a dick?
Yeah, dick. He is, man. It really hurts, but it helps. What's the so you've worked on some big name people. I mean, I hate to name drop here, but if you're into the fitness community, I mean, you work on Heather D's locally all the time. She's an IFBB pro, and
every week.
She just competed in the Olympia and did real well. She's competing in the Olympia every year. Mm-hmm. You've worked on bodybuilders like Flex Lewis, who's won the
212.
How many times?
Seven times in a row.
I'm a little out of the bodybuilding scene. I didn't, like, seven times is a lot. Guy Cisneros, who's also an IFBB pro. I mean, these are big guys. And you've worked on a lot of other pool. You work on Jeff Lader, who's also going to have him on the show later, but he's a local IFBB pro and coach, mm-hmm. and you work on him every week. And
every week, yeah.
That's actually how I found out about you, was via Jeff from somebody else. But, you know, I don't think there's a coincidence that these high-level athletes are getting worked on every week, but you work on a lot of different people, right? I mean, is it just more competitors? Or
Right now, it seems like it's mainly competitors, mainly bodybuilding competitors. But I do get a lot of just weightlifters in general, powerlifters. There's a powerlifting gym I work with. But if you look at my schedule, it's probably about 90% bodybuilders, whether they're on season or off season. So it's kind of crazy that it's taken off.
Plus the athletes from the U.
Yeah.
Also.
Oh, yeah. So Rob actually works on the University of Utah football team, which, if you know anything about me, I have like three passions in life, and the Utes are one of them. And I don't want to talk about it right now because I'm just really, it's gonna be a rough season. I have a feeling, and I'm really upset. But you work on all the you go up there before every home game, is that correct? And you work on the players
and the women's gymnastics team.
This year, I kind of got away from that one this year, to be honest. No, football team is that's what got me up there. That's what I wanted to do, is I wanted to work on the football team. It was three times a week during camp, and then, it's the night before home games, so it's just whenever we can, and it's fun. Like, it gives me some variety, so, you know, working on bodybuilders all the time can be
interesting. But hey, if you're listening to this and you're not a bodybuilder, my wife is not a bodybuilder.
True.
My wife gets worked on every other week or every third week consistently since we've been together.
She's the different definition of a bodybuilder. Like, she's not a competitive bodybuilder, but she's building her body.
Right, and she works out 5 to 6 days a week. And just like anybody, like that, I'm surprised you haven't gotten more linked up in the CrossFit community. Just because I think, though, you talk about people who are overtraining and getting such a strong stimulus on cortisol and different inflammation. It's CrossFitters, really. I mean,
I think the thing with CrossFit, it's such a community-driven thing, and I'm not a CrossFitter. So I'm not a part of the community, whereas my wife is a bodybuilder, so she competes in bikini. So having that connection to the community, I think, helps out a ton.
Well, yeah.
So I understand what CrossFit is doing. Like, you talk about the exercises that are, they can come in and tell me, we were doing, this was the WOD for the day, and I'll, you know, we understand. It's just not being a member of that community. I think they try and stay within the community.
That makes sense.
That's fine. Makes sense. That's okay.
How many times have you made Justin cry? Like, a little bit of tears, do you think? Like, once a week? Once or twice a session.
He does the same thing like you do. I mean, he'll swear. I don't think he's called me a name.
Well, Justin's gone that training far. Hard right
but
now.
But Justin, yeah. I mean, there's some fun spots each week, it seems
Rob's
like.
I've done some damage to my hamstrings before. Really,
true.
Like, really hurt.
You know, but I think an interesting point, too, is I don't know if people realize that how much, if you're after, and listen, this is for Mrs. Jones, who's just starting to get in shape, and now she kind of sees that, you know, it's fun to have muscles, and like, I'm not talking you have to be jacked, but, you Definitely. Know, when you talk about people really trying to unlock a lot of size, I mean, I really think that massage is one of those tools to do it. Like, I mean, isn't there only so much growth you can get if you're super compacted, everything's tight, joints are?
Well, and I think a part of it is, I mean, if you just think of like your daily life takes a toll on your body just as much as weight training can. Like, we get stuck in these certain postures and positions all day long that require your muscles to, you know, be active for a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
So it's usually when we see that people's lifestyle starts to interfere with their fitness lifestyle, that's when people start coming in. It's that, you know, I don't have the range of motion in my shoulder that I should, or I can't move this one, or I can't feel this muscle contract like I can on the other side.
Yep.
And that's usually just that. Like I said, that's that interaction between your normal life and your fitness life. So,
and that's going to prevent growth of that muscle tissue, right?
Yeah.
Say the bicep is super, you know, constricted on your left side, and you can feel you're not getting the right contraction.
Yeah.
Like, until that's unlocked, from my understanding, you really can't grow that adequately.
There you go.
Is that correct?
Yeah. So, I mean, one of the, to give a real specific kind of example here. So for a lot of people, when you look through like the upper back, like shoulder blade area, like everybody complains about having knots all through that area.
Okay. Yeah.
So one of the things that tends to happen is that shoulder blade then can't move how it needs to. So then your shoulder itself has to compensate, which then people start to have dysfunction in their shoulder. And then it just messes with that entire chain. So it really is that it's, if my delts aren't growing, it might be because other muscles are compensating because
it's
like of that
the
pattern.
Iceberg effect, right?
Yeah.
Kind of, it's not usually if you're having pain in an area, would you say that generally it's not stemming from that?
It's rare.
Yeah.
So unless you have a direct injury somewhere, so if you get, somebody hits you in the shoulder, okay, for example, like that's a direct blunt force trauma to the shoulder. If you're just going through your day-to-day and you're like, oh, my shoulder's hurting, but I can't think of any specific activity that hurt it, then yeah, it's probably somewhere else.
It's probably your pec or your trap or something that's pulling on that,
there
right?
You go. Yeah.
That was probably one of the most insightful things, and I've been around fitness for a long time, is that every time I complain about a problem with Rob, 95% of the time, it wasn't that muscle that was actually causing me a problem.
Yeah, it was the victim in the whole situation.
Right.
That's kind of the terminology that I like. I like the victim and criminal mentality, that it's the victims that cry out, not the criminals. So usually you've got to look in us, do a little deeper of an assessment. And that's why I think sports massage kind of really differs from your normal spa or Swedish massage, that it's, we have to do a little bit more assessments. We have to dig a little deeper. We always have to be asking why. Okay, your shoulder hurts, but why? You have a knot here. Okay, let's get rid of it. But why is it there in the first place? And then so we can kind of dig a little further and find out what's really going on, hopefully.
What's the victim of it? I like that.
There you go.
What would you say is the most common injury or problem that come in, that people come in talking about? Because I think a lot of the listeners out there, like whether you're working with us or whether you're just into fitness, like, I don't know anybody who doesn't have just that little bit of nagging area. Yeah. I didn't know if there's any, like, what's the, is it shoulder? Or is it kind of all over the map?
Hip flexors. Chest.
Yeah.
Upper chest for guys.
There you go. Yeah. So, I mean, shoulders, I work on more left shoulders than anything else.
Why left?
I have no idea. It's very, like, I think it's that battle between life and fitness kind of a thing. So I think,
do you think it's because most people are right dominant?
So to be, even left-handed people, like, they're still in a right-hand dominant world. So they still have to use their right hand a lot. So the only thing I can think of is that, you know, we go to the gym, for example, and we work out both sides, but then we use that dominant arm all throughout the day, and it gets some movement, gets some blood flow, gets some, you know, good kind of recovery, some active recovery going, whereas the left side, we kind of just let it sit there.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's that they're not getting the movement out of that side, or, you know, there's a lot of different theories in there, but it seems like a lot of shoulders with weightlifters. But low back is pretty common too, low back pain. And that's usually a hip dysfunction. It seems like, you know, I can't give 100%, but low back pain can be really complex, but it seems like there's a lot of hip to go along with the low back pain. So usually as we work through people's hips, that usually relieves some of that low back. So
is there any things you'd say, you know, so someone's starting to have some pain, is there certain indications where probably need to go to a massage therapist and or a chiropractor, or if it's certain degrees, like you need to go see a doctor? Like, is one different from the other, or would you always recommend, you're probably biased, but going to a massage therapist and a chiropractor first, kind of seeing if that can alleviate the problem?
I think that's depending on what's going on, how bad you're feeling, things, I think to go for something less invasive is always a good idea. I mean, if you make a dirt, you know, if your shoulder's hurting, you go straight to a surgeon, they're going to tell you surgery. Like, that's their job.
Yeah.
Whereas you go to a chiropractor, they're going to say an adjustment. You know, you go to a massage therapist, they're going to say massage. Okay. So, but it's, if you go to a massage therapist or a chiropractor, you're out that, you know, a little bit of time, a little bit of money. It's not bad. And then they can always, you know, push you further down the chain if they need to. But if you go straight to a, you know, the doctor or surgeon, they're going to probably take a more extreme route. So I'm very biased towards more of, you know, if you can see a physical therapist, a chiropractor, a massage therapist, and
do that before you do
something extreme, and then going. So I work with a chiropractor who's amazing. He's not afraid to push you up the chain when necessary, or to send you out for an MRI, or, you know, that it's, but he doesn't freak you out in the meantime. So it's not, oh my gosh, you've done this and you've done that. It's, let's figure this out. Let's do some things in the meantime. Let's schedule that MRI, and he can order that. So I think you can get, you know, there's some good people out there that will help you along and not just have it be a sales pitch.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you can go to a massage therapist and be like, oh, you just need 10 sessions of massage and then you'll be fine, when you might need surgery. So, yeah. I mean, there's those types definitely. So it is, I think you have to be cautious. And
how do you feel about massage envy? I'm just kidding. Like, down that rabbit
I used to work for massage
envy. Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good.
It was right after my business, you know, kind of went under. That was my go-to. I'm like, they must survive this, right? It was different.
Yeah.
It's a way, I think Massage Envy is great for therapists that are either just starting out, need to get their hands on some people, get some experience. And then it seems like it's the people that have been a massage therapist for a while, but they're kind of dying out. They don't want to deal with the business side anymore. They just want to do massage. Like, they don't want to deal with taking payments. They don't want to market. So I think you can get lucky if you get in with Massage Envy. You can get some of those therapists that can be pretty good. They just don't want to deal with all the other stuff.
Right.
So it was kind of nice to just show up, do my massages, and then leave.
Yeah.
But you're also not invested in...
Or you can get not lucky.
Or you can get not lucky and get...
I mean, so, yeah. You just need a foo-foo relaxing one, you know? And I mean, and some like water features.
Yeah.
Have someone tickle you with a feather for 50 minutes.
Yeah. There you go. Just smeared some lotion on me for 50
yeah.
minutes.
Yeah.
Well, I think the cool thing about Rob is there's been times where he's came over and I've just said, you know, nothing's super hurting right now. I just kind of need a maintenance tune up, and he'll just kind of get into every part. So it's not every time as grueling pain. It depends on kind of what I'm going through. But another thing I really have always liked about you, and I tell any clients or friends or family that I refer, is you actually try to almost work yourself out of business because you try to tell them things to do so they don't need to come see you every week.
Yeah, it's a bad business model, but it works.
Well, it works because you're extremely referable and people know that, like, you're the real deal and you're going to help them, and that you also have their best interest in hand, which so many, I mean, that's what I try to tell them. What's what we try to preach is just like, I don't want to hold a client's hand forever. Like, I want them to go on their merry way and, like, be able to live a healthy life without needing us. And
That client education.
I know that if they keep doing it, like, we're going to organically get more referrals because people will still see them down the road. And if, you know, if you help a client, help fix them, so to speak, air quotes, but then someone sees them and says, "Hey, how's your shoulder feeling, Bob?" They're like, "Oh, great. It's fixed. You should go see Rob. He was amazing." You've always given little tips. Like, what are a few tips you think you can give to listeners that, like, will really provide a lot of value? Like, I know you've told me to put a little cross ball up on my chest and stick it up against the wall. Like, what are a couple things at home do you think that most people, I guess injury dependent, but could be doing, whether it's stretching, foam rolling? Is there anything, a couple things you really believe in as a core?
There's quite a few. I mean, usually using some kind of foam roller, a lacrosse ball, some kind of little device in that sense, I think is great.
So I didn't even have a lacrosse ball. I just have one of those red Kong balls.
That works.
My dogs.
That works.
I think it works.
Well,
like,
I'll even tell people to use, like, you know, in the gym, like, where, like, hammer strength machines, where you put the plate on the machine, there's a rounded edge to where that pin is. Yes. Use that, like, something.
Yeah. And you're going to pin that up against, like, let's say your chest. Shoulder's kind of hurting. And then you're almost going to raise like you're doing a shoulder press. People on the YouTube video can see me.
There you go. So it is. It's a massage technique. It's called pin and stretch. So you, like, pin down the muscle that's bugging you, and then you put it through its range of motion. You move it. So it's kind of this combination where you get that mechanical stimulus, but then you're getting some movement, which is what your brain wants. Like, the muscle wants to move and contract, so you're just helping that along. So it's nothing super technical, but it works. Like, it seems to be more efficient than just, you know, rolling the foam roller up and down. Like, if you can get your muscles active and getting your brain engaged, getting your nervous system going, it makes it so much more effective. So yeah, anything like that. You know, those vibrating foam rollers and vibrating this, and, you know, your heat this, and, you know, there's so many things on the market nowadays that it seems like they all kind of have an overlap on what they do. So it's do something. Like, really, I mean, when it comes to pain, especially, like, your brain just sometimes wants some new stimulus. So it doesn't even have to be complicated. Just do something.
Well, I know you've told me, because of my shoulder where my pec tear is, and that I sit at my computer hunched over with my shoulders forward all day. We sit on our phones and text with our shoulders forward, that you've told me, just kind of in between clients, to grab the top of my door. Door frame and just lean into it and stretch 30 seconds. Do that. The more I do that, I notice all of a sudden my posture standing up. And hey, like, if you guys want to make your waist look a little smaller without having to do anything, fix your posture a little bit. You'll be amazed. I tell clients it's a little trick to make everything look smaller coming down, because we're so hunched over. And so I'm like, if you can bring that back a little magically, all of a sudden you look like you went from a 30 to a 28 waist.
But yeah.
Get a girl. Right, sure.
There you go.
For free. So foam rollers, lacrosse balls, I mean, is stretching before or after a workout necessary? Is there one that's better? Clients ask me all that all the time, and my favorite answer for everything, and you'll hear a common theme, is it depends.
That's what I was going to say. It depends.
Yeah, it's just everything depends.
That's the and scientific I know, answer. It depends. Yeah. And it really
is
does.
Is stretching before, if someone had to, I've had clients ask me, is stretching before or after better? If I have 5 minutes to do one, what would you say? It depends.
This might, yeah. So when I love my research. I love looking and reading research articles, things like that. When you look at research on stretching, it's really not very good, to be honest.
Really?
They'll go through 12-week, you know, hip mobility, stretching routines, and then nobody's made any difference, like flexibility-wise.
Really?
So she's like, oh.
When you say stretching routines, you mean like like an everyday thing,
yeah,
15, 20 minutes?
Yeah. So, you know, twice a day for 15
way
minutes.
Way more than I would stretch.
Probably. Yeah. Way more than probably anybody would.
Yeah.
So the thing with stretching is great for, they found it's really helpful for pain relief. So definitely if you're having pain somewhere, like to give that muscle, you know, it's a stimulus. So there you go. So you're giving your muscle a stimulus and that can help with pain. So depending on what your goal is, like if your goal is to increase your flexibility, the research on stretching is kind of horrible. If it's just to, you know, a way of being part of your warm up to then go exercise, then great. But don't spend forever doing it. Like I see people spending a half hour before they even go touch a weight. And that's just a huge waste of time. Like go get moving. So
yeah, what would you say the best warm-up is? I mean,
the thing that you're going to do.
I mean, is a five-minute warm-up on the elliptical or treadmill to get blood flow going, will that help with injury prevention? Or, yeah, I mean, is that a myth? I mean, I kind of know the answer. I'm asking you more rhetorically, but like, I mean, to get some blood flow going,
raise your core temperature. Yeah. Get some blood flow into the area that you're going to work. I mean, getting those muscles moving, contracting, like, and that's going to help. Yeah. So I'm really big on the movement. Like I love massage. I'm a big fan of massage. Obviously, or I wouldn't be a massage therapist, but I really think that a lot of the solutions that we get from our problems are more about the movement that you get. So that's why usually with the massage, I work on somebody and it's like, okay, now you need to go move. So the massage kind of helps remove some roadblocks. Foam rolling helps remove some roadblocks. And then the movement is what will then fix you long-term. So yeah, if you're, you know, if it's going to be leg day, go hop on the treadmill, walk, go stairs, you know, something, anything like that. Get those legs moving somehow, get the blood flowing, get your core temperature up. Injury prevention is kind of a sketchy topic because sometimes it's just a freak accident. Like you just don't know.
If you can only do 200 on a bench press and you do 315, you might get an injury.
There you go.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, stretching.
So a warm up, you think the best warm up is really, so say I'm going to go work chest, is to do a few light sets of really light weight and high volume to get some blood flow into that muscle to say, hey, I'm going to work you.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, getting some good like concentric, eccentric contraction where you get a good stretch, a good contraction, good weight with you can control. So you're stable, you get those muscles moving through their range of motion that you're going to stress them in, and that's perfect. So for me, for example, I mean, I've got, you know, I'm playing baseball, my shoulder still gives me trouble too. So it's when I go to do anything that involves that shoulder, I've learned that I do have to kind of get that shoulder moving through all of its range of motion, not just the range of motions that I'm going to use during the workout. So if I'm going to do a chest day, I have to do those same movements that I would do on a back day, or else my shoulder's mad for the entire workout.
Huh.
So to get the foam or get a, you know, foam roller through my lats and the ball through my chest or, you know, upper back, get all of those, you know, get some compression on them essentially, and then get them moving, then I'm fine. So it is, I have to spend a good 5-10 minutes on my shoulder typically. So I don't think that's uncommon. I think maybe for a lot of people that might be more than what they need, but I know I've got this chronic, you know, problem since I was 13. That, you know, I practically blew my shoulder out. So just like you, Brad, with your, you know, your pec tear, you were the outliers of the research groups that we, you know, having this chronic problem that's structurally different now might take a little bit longer, but you know, a good 3 to 5 minutes for most people, I think is plenty to get you going. And then you do some warm up sets for whatever exercise you're going to do.
Does stretching actually help you be less sore? You know, I mean, people, well, I'm going to go stretch so I'm not a sore. Does that actually help anything?
Not from what they're finding in research, no. So
it doesn't like magically move lactic acid and all of a sudden you're like, I can't.
That's one of the, I was hoping we'd get to this topic. Like, that's one of the myths that I would love to bust, that like
tell
lactic acid is so is what, not the enemy here. There we go.
So lactic acid is, yeah, so that build change. Up, that pump you get, is that lactic acid?
Kind of, but no.
Kind of.
So when you, I think we like to blame lactic acid a lot more than what it is. Your body will recycle that back into energy first off. So to kind of say that this is a really bad thing that we've got to flush out, like I hear that from a lot of people that, you know, it's a week after my marathon and I need to get that lactic acid flushed out. Well, it's already long gone. I mean, 10 minutes after your workout and you probably have all the lactic acid out of your system. So it breaks down really fast. Like it breaks into a lactate molecule and then a hydrogen ion, like just immediately after it's produced. So it's already starting to break down like seconds after. So then your body will kind of get that lactate and it'll recycle it back into ATP, which is your energy to use for your contractions. So it's not something, it's not this horrible thing that we thought it was. I mean, that dates back to like the 1930s in a research article where they were like, oh, we tested their blood after a workout and they had some lactic acid in there or some lactate in there. So that must be, then they were sore the next day. So that must be what's causing it. And it just, you can't correlate that. Like, you can't say, well, you have blood too, so does that mean, So it's you can't link those two together, I'll put it that way. So we thought that for a long time. It was a nice sales pitch for massage therapists and things to say, we've got to flush out your lactic acid or you're going to be sore. And it's just not the case.
Myth has been debunked.
There you go. So what usually is causing the soreness is more the micro tears in the muscle, that you just stress that muscle. You got those micro tears.
You should be sore for, 24 to 72 hours.
Yeah.
Would you say if someone's been sore for 5 days, still can't sit down, they have stressed the muscle too much and overtrained?
More. There you go. More is not always better.
Yeah.
So you've got to find that point where you're doing enough to cause change, but you're not doing so much that you're wrecking yourself. And that's, I think, where massage comes in with some of the, with the bodybuilders of, you get these guys working out 6 days a week and, 2 hour workouts, 2 hours of cardio, that's probably a lot more than what most people can recover from.
Yeah.
So that's where, and then being, especially like just, I mean, being at a caloric deficit, that's a lot for your poor body to go through.
A lot of stress.
So yeah, anything will help you at that point.
Right. Yep.
So if you like ice baths or if you like massage or if you like, this or that, like it's probably all helping you to some extent.
Bath bombs.
Justin does some bath bombs. What's your favorite bath bomb?
Dragon egg scent. From Lush.
What is it?
The dragon egg from Lush.
The dragon egg. Do you know what it is?
It's the dragon egg.
Well, what is it? Is it just color or is it scent?
It's
I'm not much like of a bath butter. Guy. I'm not opposed to baths, but
it's got like cocoa butter, shea butter.
Oh. That's why your skin's so soft.
Yeah. Of course it is. Yeah.
That's why the ladies exactly. Love
Justin. Oh, Justin's bubble baths. We'll have to talk. That's
there's no bubbles. Other
but that works.
Bubbles?
No.
Why not?
It doesn't fizz?
No. It just.
Like, oh, man.
Dude, I have a jetted tub. I need to take advantage of it.
Dissolves into the bath.
Okay. And you feel better?
Dude, it smells great.
Oh, is Epsom? What about Epsom salt?
That one, I'm not sure. I'll have to. That's one that I definitely have to play the I don't know card on. I do them.
Right.
I've done it,
but I don't know if
it's
just because
know how much it actually helps.
Right.
Yeah, I haven't looked into it. I haven't dug in. I really should have because I do it all the time. But I mean, I think with the combination of if you're in a nice hot tub, okay, so you're getting the warmth, you're getting that hydrotherapy component. Maybe for some people, like to get that absorption through your skin, like maybe if you are, could use a little bit because it's what magnesium, what is it? It's something. There you go.
Not sure.
But so like that, some people might be able to or need that to help with their recovery process. And then some people might be okay because their nutrition is on point. Like that's one of the hard things.
Right. But that's a huge point.
At the very least that if you, it's not that expensive of stuff, hopefully that you're not buying the crazy kind, but
yeah, it's super cheap.
Yeah. I mean, to get in a hot tub and relax and get that blood flow into those areas and, adding in something that may or may not help you but I think it's beneficial. It's helpful. I'm not a big fan of ice baths, but
they
work. I don't want to do
it.
I'd rather do something else. But
yeah.
But it's still, there's some benefits to it. But
sauna and steam rooms, helpful at all?
Same reason. Yeah. So when you look at, I mean, it's just a different kind of, there's conduction and there's convection. So there, I mean, it's same thing with like cryotherapy where they've got the chambers. Similar idea that what they found research wise is when you have a wet contact with your skin, it penetrates better. So a hot bath or an ice bath is going to be more beneficial to you than doing the cryotherapy chambers,
right,
or an electric heating pad, or it just goes in deeper into your body.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, beneficial. Like it's one of those things, like if you'll do it, then yeah, you'll see some benefits. So it's kind of the same
idea.
Will
you lose any body fat?
You know, diet. No.
I'm just kidding.
I'm sorry. I mean, it's kind of the same thing like with dieting of like, you know, is there a perfect diet? Like not necessarily. It's what's going to match up with the client.
Right.
What can the client maintain? Like, are they going to keep doing it? So do you like the steam room? Then do it. Great. Like that's, if that wants to be part of your recovery protocol and you'll do it, great.
Honestly, when I sit in the steam room and sauna, it's more just for kind of a spiritual release. Like I just kind of like get zen and just be able to kind of get check a meditative a state. I'm not sure how much it actually helps my recovery process, but
I think that works. Like I think like, because when you talk like this with talking about pain and talking things where it's a very nervous system, very brain psychological component to it, that's huge. So if, you know, to do this little meditation, that can definitely help with your recovery process because it's more than just at a cellular level of recovery. There's definitely we call it a biopsychosocial model. So there is definitely a biological component, but there's also a psychological component, you know, so there's...
Does that have anything to do with cortisol and kind of being lowered or...
I'm not sure.
There's lots of rabbit holes.
I could see like that of like reducing your stress.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So I could see that. That would make sense to me.
Well, dude, I think you're an absolute stud. If there's one thing that you could tell the listeners that you feel like what's one thing you feel like most people are doing wrong that with just a little change that they could do better? Like...
And that's, I think I'll come back to the movement part. Like, I think it's, we just need to move. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's, you know, we complain. Yeah. Yeah. So there was this big push of like, you know, posture and alignment in your body, that it's not so much the position that you're in, like sitting is the new smoking, you know, kind of a thing. The sitting in itself isn't bad, but when you do it for 8 hours a day, 12 hours a day, 16 hours, that's when it becomes bad.
Right.
Same idea. You go to the gym, working your biceps isn't a bad thing, but if you did it for 8 hours, it becomes a bad thing. So it's get moving, get a variety of positions. Because any of those positions you're in, you're going to be using certain muscle groups for longer. So if you can get some variety and kind of shift that workload around, I think that helps people out a ton. So, I mean, with you guys, like I've talked to you about the ergonomics of your workstation of there's
we
this
need
constant
standing work desks
or just your monitors. I think I've told you before, you need a monitor behind desk. Monitor in front of you.
Yeah.
So for us sitting here on the microphones, looking at each other for the last half hour, whatever it's been.
Yeah.
My
similar
neck
concept.
Kinked.
And that's, yeah, you spend too much time in one position and your body gets mad at you.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Get some movement, get a move. I mean, that's why I'm a big fan of weight training, is because it, at least for that hour or however long, you're at least running through movements that you may not get any other way.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that's really beneficial for the health and function of your body.
Awesome. Well, dude, I really appreciate you coming on. You're doing great things. I support entrepreneurship, and I think it's really cool what you're doing, how many people you're helping and impacting, and you know, your word of mouth is so strong, so you're doing something right. So
I hope so. It's been
we
fun.
Continue to use you for going on 5 years now, so it must be doing something right. So again, thank you so much. If people want to find you, it's Premier Fitness Massage on Instagram.
Yep.
And Facebook. Shoot him a DM. He'll answer any questions. I'm just kidding. But you,
oh no. it depends.
Yeah. It depends. Knuckles hurt. It depends. So thank you, man. I appreciate you coming on the show. And thank you guys for listening. It would mean the world to us if you would subscribe and share this with your friends. Again, your word of mouth is our oxygen. Thank you. Hey guys, it's Brad here. Just wanted to thank you so much for listening. We couldn't be any more grateful that you took the time out of your day to listen to us. We hope we provided value. If we did, it would mean the world to us if you would subscribe and share this with your friends.